The Texarkana Gazette is hiring. We are looking for an enterprising reporter to cover courts and legal affairs, including high-profile criminal trials and civil lawsuits. With two cities, two counties, two states, and federal courts, Texarkana is the perfect place for a legal reporter to thrive. If you or someone you know would like to join our busy Digital First newsroom, contact editor James Bright at jbright@texarkanagazette.com or 870-330-7550. That's J-B-R-I-G-H-T at texarkanagazette.com or 870-330-7550. Tune in Texarkana.
All right, guys, welcome to Tune In Texarkana, and today we have O'Malley's Prayer.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like an Irish folk. How would you describe it exactly?
That was pretty good. We pirate the Irish music. We're pirishing it.
You're pirishing it. And do you guys want to introduce yourselves individually real quick?
Sure. I'm Russell Dudley, rocking the mandolin.
Alistair Drake, sometimes vocals, always the guitar.
Ryan Gafford, fiddle.
Very, very nice. All right, guys. So I'm really interested to know how you guys met, because I am familiar with you from seeing you play around at Hopkins and just around downtown. It's almost like a parade out of like a Beatles video or something is what it reminds me, because you can just see you guys fiddling away, sometimes just walking in a line, just marching to the beat of your own drum. And I love that. And that I think that's one thing that draws everybody into you guys.
Speaking of which, we are looking for a drummer so we can beat somebody else's drum.
Hey, I might have one for you, so remind me of that later. But how in the world did you guys meet? How long have y'all known each other?
We're going on, what, 8 years, 9 years?
Probably.
Yeah. Me and Brian, maybe 10. Yeah.
Longer than some people's marriages.
He was giving bass lessons and selling equipment, and I walked in there and bought an amp. And that was it. We've been friends ever since.
I've always wondered how we met.
I can say, yeah, I think you're working like Pro Sound or something like that.
Yeah. Or Brooke Mays, maybe. Pro Sound.
And so how did y'all start, you just from there developed starting making music together? How did this formation come together?
Can I tell this one?
Go ahead.
So I want to make a very, very long story. Not so long. But anyway, I was dating one chick, and she would always have friends over, and, you know, they'd be throwing parties and stuff like that. And so I decided I was going to take a look at Irish music one night. And so I was sitting in my little office, and I was, like, listening to Irish music, and a buddy of mine came over because his girlfriend drug him to the party, and he didn't want to hang out there with all the girls. So he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm thinking about starting to play this kind of music. He's like, oh, show me the lyrics. And so he and I went over the first song, and all of a sudden all the girls came in and goes, you guys have got to start a band. So that kind of started the whole ball rolling. That was on a Friday. And no lie, Tuesday, I walk into the mall, and I find Brian back there cooking some awesome hamburgers and everything. He's like, dude, it's been like 8 months. You've been, you know, you're Jones is starting another band. I know it. I'm your guitar player. I can play Sach. I can play Yngwie. I can play Vivian Campbell. You name it, I can play it. I'm your guitar player. I'm like, cool, I need a fiddle player. I can do that. I'm like, how long have you been playing fiddle? He's like, well, I'm buying one tomorrow.
Really?
And he did.
$100 pawn shop.
No way. And so six months later,
the guy sounded like he's been playing fiddle for his whole life.
Did you teach yourself?
Mm-hmm. I took like maybe four lessons just to read the music. After that, I just bought me a book and started hammering it up.
So is it just really similar to instruments you've already been playing, or no?
The theory is basically the same. I mean, notes follow the pattern. So, I mean, an A goes to a G on each string, even his and his. You know, it's just the theory is the same, just a little bit. It's a different dynamic.
That is wild, because I tried to teach myself guitar, and it did not go well. It did not go as planned. So just the fact that you had this set in mind and you just went for it just because you're like, I need this.
I honestly believe the fact that he is very proficient on guitar, playing Sach and Yngwie, he had a leg up on trying to figure out how to play that thing.
And so what is Sach and...
She was the best guitarist.
Shredding.
Okay.
Shredding. Like, yeah, Van Halen kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, very
how,
cool.
How did Russell get into the band?
Yeah, now that's a funny story.
Good, because I don't know it, man. I don't know. You just say it's just, you're it, there.
What I did was I just basically lied my way in. I had a friend named Max. Well, actually, a friend named Kevin. I was playing the guitar. I was like, dude, I need to find me some musicians to play with. He was like, I got a friend, Max. So,
Max Bennett.
So, we hooked up Max Bennett. He's one of the greatest awesome banjo players ever. He's also a member of O'Malley's Prayer, but when we first kind of disbanded a few years back, he's kind of taking care. He had a new baby. You'll probably see him again.
Yeah, but he drew that girl in with the banjo.
He's pretty good with the banjo.
He comes over, brings a guy named Bob. Bob brings a guitar. Now, the funny thing about Bob, he has one arm. And he plays guitar.
That was
interesting, yeah. But Max had actually made him a fake arm with a pick glued
to it.
No, I'm not kidding. So Bob is sitting there with his fake arm picking and playing, and I'm playing, and Max is playing. And he brings some gourmet beer, which was like, he's probably the first one to turn me on to gourmet beer. And we drank some beer. Played some music, and then called him back later. I was like, hey, dude, you ready to jam some more? And he's like, yeah, man, I'm already in a band. O'Malley's Prayer. We're doing Irish music. And I was kind of like liking the rock and roll and all this stuff, the 80s music.
Really good at AC/DC.
And he said, but I got a guy that is recently playing by himself. He needs a buddy to play with. His name is B. Ryan Gafford. So I met Brian. Brian's one of my very best friends ever. And we got together. We started shredding together, playing two-person guitars. Then we ended up going over. I can't remember if Brian was there or not. It might have been Max and I. But we went over to practice at O'Malley's Prayer. So I walk in there. I'm just hanging out. You know, everybody's jamming and stuff like that. It sounds good. Well, they play Sweet Child of Mine, which is an old 80s, you know, Guns N' Roses. That was my kind of music, right? The singer, Wes, he was like, I'm not singing that. But Ken was, like, jamming
it out.
He's
trying to be a traditionalist. Like,
everybody was playing it. So I just, you know, jumped up there, started singing. I do some of the lyrics in the band. I'm not the, you know, the best singer in the world, but I can sing a little bit. So I jumped in there, started singing, and Ken was like, hey, I like that. I like that. He said, yeah, we need a mandolin. do you know how to play mandolin? And I was like, of course I know how to play mandolin. What do you think I am here?
How dare you even ask me?
So I walk out, and I'm like, what's a mandolin? And Brian says, hey, man, I got one. We can do some Dylan. So I traded Brian an amp for a mandolin. And Brian says that's easy to just convert to a guitar. Brian's like a freak of nature. He's one of them naturally talented. He can just jam anything he picks up. It's crazy. But the thing about a mandolin and a fiddle is the strings are backwards from a guitar. So a guitar is E-A-D-G. Mm-hmm. These are backwards E-A-D-G from the bottom up. So all the chords are different. Ken's like, hey, well, if you can play, that's fine. He calls me on my bluff. He probably knew I was lying. But he's like, okay, so in 2 weeks, we're going to do the 75th anniversary for the farmer's market on the Texarkana, Arkansas side. We're going to be playing on the stage there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yay. And in my head, I'm like, dang, oh, man, this is my life. This is how I get into these things.
Now, check this out. The funny thing is, Max got us involved in this mess.
Okay.
Max got us involved to go do the market, the farmer's market. Max forgets, we're all musicians. He's a musician, and he signs up to start playing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, bless him. No.
So our choices are stay up all night and be musicians and then drag in there, or try to go to sleep by 3 and wake up at 5, you know, to be there.
It was a long day.
It was a very, very long day.
Oh, but we got paid handsomely.
Watermelons.
I still can't imagine that. Yeah, I got
zucchini.
Yeah.
We got squash.
Oh, so it's like a barter
peaches,
system.
They watermelon.
All, like, well, they just, I think it's they like did give some cash, but we blew it on.
Yeah.
So you ended up putting it right back there, yeah.
But, I think we went right to the pub with it.
Well, I mean, we had whatever cash we had, we bought beer with, but everybody in the farmer's market just started showing up with bushels of stuff, man, and handed it to us.
Yeah,
that's
so
really cool.
We all butt to the park and started grilling it all up and did another show out there, just feeding people. Nice. It was great.
On that note, do you guys think you can play us a little something?
Yeah.
All right.
Did we learn a song too? Oh, yeah. Ready?
Yeah.
awesome. I feel like you can't just be still whenever you're playing. You have to just bounce along with it. And
you have no idea.
Like, I just feel like we should be clapping along on our knees and, like, the dancing from the Titanic or something.
Well, that's what it's about with us. I mean, there's a lot of different styles of Irish music and everything. We focus in on pub Irish. So we want people to interact with us. We want the, you know, if you got spoons at the table, play the spoons. Everybody slap, you know, clap along, whatever.
And so what's, like, really unique or interesting about pub music compared to other Irish music? What are some of the, like, distinctions?
Well, you get really, really drunk. No.
The drunker the audience gets, the better we sound.
Yeah, absolutely. That is 100% sure. You always hear, like, really, really pretty Irish music, like from Braveheart and things like that, movies like that. What was this guy's name?
Martin Hayes.
I was thinking River Dance, you know? You got the whole pretty Irish airs and all this stuff, and you have a bunch of girls out there doing the dancing thing to it.
Those are mostly jigs and reels.
Yeah.
Dating back like 1,000 years.
And what about the music that you're playing? How old is this?
A couple hundred years.
A couple hundred years.
Yeah, it starts about 200 years ago, moves up. Now, mind you, there's a whole another group that stretches back 400 years or so, which is a lot of the sea shanties and stuff that we had learned at one point, but we've drank Guinness since then.
What are some of the songs about? Like, what was the one you just played? What was that about?
Whiskey in a Jar? Well, that's about a guy who decided to take his economical endeavors and better himself. Now, mind you, in that song, he does end up getting caught by the guy he robs, and that guy and his friends put him in jail, and so it goes on and
karma.
On.
After his girl betrayed him,
it's always about
filled his bag of gunpowder up with water,
tricked
him, told the other guy to come get him, so set him up. So
it's quite the story.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was paid good for that.
Are most Irish songs like that? Are they telling stories?
There's songs about
most of them are telling stories of some kind.
Drinking beer, like before breakfast. There's tunes out there just everywhere.
Yeah. So how do you guys find these? Like, because I don't know how you even, other than how you came across it, what kept you interested in it, and how did you keep searching these songs out?
Well, the intricate details of the songs themselves are just, fascinating for me as a musician. The very fact that, if you go into bluegrass, in fact, we're going to play a bluegrassish song later on that Russell wrote.
Okay.
But the bluegrass, American bluegrass, is really based out of Irish and French music.
Oh.
A lot of it. And in fact, country in general is based out of Irish and French when it became American country music. And I remember for class, original country music, American country music, even had bagpipes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At least for the first two or three years, but
a very short-lived period, but it was still there.
It was there, but that really does show you a lot of the Scottish and Irish background that that country music was coming from. The bluegrass, Red Hair Boy, the second
it was Irish and it came to the States and they renamed it and did something else, just like Johnny I Hardly Knew You.
Yeah. But Red Hair Boy specifically, which is kind of weird.
Turn it a little bigger, man.
Okay, so if you hear it from a bluegrass version, it's a little bit different than the way we play. We put a little bit more swing into it, so we try to pull that Irish roots back into it. But the bluegrass people, man, they just slam it out a million miles an hour, but it's all in 4/4, just slam it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oddly enough, if you really do some research, or all of a sudden you'll stumble across a few Cajun bands, and they put some extra kind of swing to it, and those Cajun bands are rocking Red Hair Boy.
Yeah.
Same exact melody and everything. And if you start looking at their stuff, you'll find out it comes straight from France. So the French claim to make the melody, but the Irish claim to make the melody.
Oh.
So we don't know where it originally came from, but it does definitely shows how that melody actually integrates itself into multiple different systems.
Cultures, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
And if you start really studying a lot of Irish, you'll find out, like, a lot of the Cajun music has the melodies where the Irish and the French were figuring this stuff out together at some point. They must have been friends.
At some point.
Yeah. And those melodies end up in Cajun, and they end up in bluegrass.
So do y'all play any French songs too? Or have y'all delved into that at all?
Not with these guys, but like, for instance, Dance to Mardi Gras is one of my favorite songs.
Okay.
Don't expect me to sing French, though. I've tried. It doesn't work out very well.
And so any of you have an Irish background, or is this purely out of just, like, curiosity and passion?
Well,
my last name is Irish.
Yeah.
Used to be Old Gufford.
Okay.
Black Irish, actually.
Which is technically my last name.
I was in Spanish in it.
Yeah, my last name is English, so I persecuted the Irish.
Yeah, and he seemed to enjoy it.
I still do it.
Still have
today.
A history with it.
These guys are Irish, so I persecute them daily with my playing and singing.
Honestly, if it fought in World War II, I pretty much got that bloodline, so I run the gambit.
There you go. And I was just curious because, I mean, I had just assumed from the get-go that y'all were just like pure Irish band because y'all were Irish, but it's like, it's really interesting to me that literally is just all happenstance that, and you just kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
And haven't stopped since.
Well,
I mean, maybe you took some breaks, but.
Well, yeah, honestly, I mean, we just all got the bug again, you know? I mean, we've been done for at least 4 years.
Oh, really?
And then this past St. Patty's Day, we just all got the bug. We all just wanted to do it again.
Oh, I love that.
So we learned about 3 or 4 songs, and we went out and just did those songs on St. Patty's Day. And then we've just been kind of throwing stuff together again.
Well, that's beautiful.
So we haven't even played together really much except for the
past couple months. Do y'all practice often together, or is it just kind of...
At least once a week.
Yeah. At least once a week, that's good.
Yeah, since St. Patty's Day, we've been trying to keep it right on Mondays.
Keeping them consistent. I like it, because you guys, you do have this natural chemistry, like when you're playing together, just, it's like you're speaking without having to say words to each other, and you've kind of just got this nice ebb and flow. It's really easy to see. So it's really cool.
I mean, he drives a lot of that rhythm and that on those strings, so I mean, I can listen for those ticks.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I wanted to point out, which is kind of funny. Brian over here, like I said, guitar virtuoso on a, like, Ying Bei and all that, really, really difficult. And then we have Russell over here, who is slamming out some serious classical rock. I mean, but he can do Metallica and all that stuff also. And so I got really two good guitar players, you know. One I stick on mandolin, the other one I stick on fiddle. So what's my main instrument? It's not guitar, it's bass.
Really?
So the only time I ever play guitar is in the Irish band.
Oh,
the rest of the time
funny.
I'm playing bass.
So you're all just kind of faked it till you made it a little bit.
Pretty much.
That's really impressive, though.
The most interesting is this, that, or tune the exact same.
Yeah.
Really?
All the theory is the same. Every tune, if I play it on that, you can play it on that.
And you're playing them in such different ways, so it's really kind of interesting to
Well, he's got 8 strings. I only got 4.
Okay.
So it kind of offsets the tonality a little bit.
All right. I mean, but it's really cool, too, just watching the way you guys play. You've got, like, I'm watching your fingers, and they're just kind of all over the place. Yeah, and then I'm watching you, and you're just kind of like, you've got these longer kind of strums. It's just really cool to see how it visually plays out, and then hearing it, too, and just watching you guys kind of bounce around together. It's really fun. Like, you catch the energy as you're watching it, and it, like, I'm sitting here bouncing my foot around, just kind of like hopping along. Well, so it's very contagious.
Next song, you'll know if you feel it and you want to ride it. Yeah. Come on with us.
So what is the next song you guys have that you're going to play for us?
Shoot, what is the next one?
Wild Rover.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
So what's Wild Rover about?
It's a story about a gentleman that
he's trying to change his ways.
Oh, aren't we all? All right. Go
it doesn't
ahead.
Work out for him, but yeah, so.
Whenever you guys are ready, go ahead.
Well, I've been a wild rover for many a year, and I spent all my money on whiskey and beer, and now I've returned with gold and great store, and I never will play the wild rover no more, and it's no endeavor no more. I play spent pro blush. I begged her for credit. She answered me nay. Such a custom as yours I can find in a day. And it's no day never. No day never, no more. I played the weather over. No never, no more.
Come on, Brian, let's do it.
To realize that the Irish pub songs have a really uncanny way of making really bad circumstances sound really fun.
Yes. Exactly, yeah.
It's like, okay, we can make the best out of a bad situation, no matter what it is.
You're starting to catch on to the old idea, the luck of the Irish.
If you drink the problems away, then there are no problems.
That is Irish.
I like it. Exactly. So do you guys find yourselves, like, singing these songs just randomly, like, out in the middle, like, throughout your day?
Yeah, actually.
Like, kind of. Yeah. Passively singing them, because I feel like I'm already wanting, like, they're already playing in my head.
Oh, I got plenty of playlists for you if you
want. They're super catchy.
They really are a lot of fun. They're fun to listen to. They're fun to play. Like I said, we focus in on the pub Irish stuff, meaning that we don't want a lot of really heavy songs, in a sense. Like, I mean, we will play some heavy songs, but we try to make it fun. We want people to enjoy their time with us. So we choose songs that will try to force that idea. Like, for instance, one of the songs I'm talking about being heavy is Foggy Dew. which is a really serious matter song.
What's that song about? What is it?
Irish Uprising of 1916.
1916?
Mm-hmm. And the British came in and slaughtered like 100,000 Irish.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, let's...
Yeah, that's not really the best pub song. Yeah.
But it's a really good song.
It's really dramatic song.
Yeah.
It's a very traumatic song. We try to make it more fun. If people, like, really pay attention, then, mm-hmm. yeah, you can kind of...
Yeah, that's what I was realizing. I'm like, hey, this sounds really great. I'm nodding my head, but, man, this guy was in a bad situation or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, they have a really interesting way of doing that. I like it. So are most of the songs that you guys perform, they sound kind of similarly to this? I know that I've seen you play at Hopkins, and it was really similar to this. Is it always kind of this upbeat, catchy...
For the most part.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't like sad songs.
No.
They make me cry.
And where are some places around town that you guys play or have played?
Well, lately, I mean, it's just Hopkins. We played the country club years ago for St. Patrick's Day. A lot of times.
I play at the mall a lot.
I'm surprised I haven't seen
it. I used to teach at the mall.
Did you all ever do, like, Renaissance festivals or anything like that?
We were out there Texarkana Renaissance Festival. We were out there. That's kind of our fault. Pirate we can't tell ball. That story on there.
No, but I figured, I'm like, that seems like it would go overlap a little bit.
Yeah, big time.
Well, I used to stay up on the farm.
Okay.
And so I was downtown every day.
Yeah.
And so I would go to the Pocket Park and play. I'd sit on a bench downtown and play. Anytime that there was any kind of event downtown, I was down in it.
And that's kind of how I just stumbled across you guys, was like seeing you out and about. And I'm like, hey,
Actually, I met you at the Viking Festival.
Okay, yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's right. Through Brian Jones.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. My memory's shot.
We
actually thank you.
Played in Branson, Missouri. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's cool.
Where's somewhere you guys would like to play?
Ireland.
Yeah.
Have y'all been?
Oh, not yet.
Not yet.
I have never been.
I go, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to be a sheep farmer and live in a pub.
Tis the dream.
San Antonio, there's two really good Irish pubs in there. And then there's an English pub right across the way. It'd be fun to be able to blast all of our music straight at that place.
Just get on back. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the instrumental stuff that I like to play is some of it can be really sad, because in Southern Ireland, it was just melancholy.
Right.
You know, everybody was like, the British were coming in and just take everything. So everybody was kind of sad, so there was a lot of instrumental tunes that came out, and just kind of symbolized that everybody's kind of like bummed out, you know. But then we have the pub tunes that make everybody happy, so it's kind of a balance.
Then you got the hornpipe tunes and the airs. The airs are usually pretty sad stuff.
Yeah. So did they have, like, a lot of songs come out with the famine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you come up with a tune as you're starving.
Yeah.
actually, that's kind of where the music, how it hits New York and starts to become popular, is because during that point in time, everybody's running away from Ireland, and they were taking their music with them straight to New Orleans, New York and New Orleans and all that. So they're starting to spread Irish music left and right because of the Great Potato Famine.
Huh.
You can't argue with 15 million Irishmen in 6 months.
That's right.
So do you guys have, like, family or anything that is brought, or friends that you've kind of brought into this that have never, because I had never heard of any of these tunes before, and now I'm kind of curious as to, like, what else is out there. So do you find yourself, like, having people ask you for some suggestions or anything like that for, like, no?
Most people here don't even know what to suggest. They don't even know that they can ask for suggestions. I mean, like, a lot of our songs that we're not playing today or anything, because of copyrighted material and all that stuff, we listen to a lot of Flogging Molly. We listen to a lot
Of
that. So Flogging Molly.
Yeah.
He's all about, Dropkick Murphys.
Yes. Okay. So these are ones I'm familiar with.
Young Dubliners.
Yes.
The Old Dubliners.
Spring Break bands ever.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, I mean, they sell out Spring Break.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. But, that's really cool, though, because I knew about them, but I never really associated it as being like, oh, that's an Irish band. But, of course, it is.
Oh, it's hardcore.
Actually, Keen.
Gaelic Storm. Gaelic
Keen
Storm.
Is always exploring alternative music.
You know, I
always.
Really...
He's coming up with stuff.
What was it? Not that long ago, I saw a Gaelic dance, And that was just absolutely beautiful. So yeah, I'm really developing this admiration.
Was it the girls who don't know what to do with their arms? But you know, their
feet just flying. Yes, for a bit they were doing that. But then other parts of it, they're just almost like ballet dancing, too.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's teaching them how to use their arms?
Just a little bit. It was mostly stiff arms. But it was really, really cool to see and, like, develop an appreciation for that. Because well, it's like, something
some
I was
never supposed
to.
Some of this music that we've been playing, when we played up in Little Rock a lot, several times we had where we would start up a tune and everything, and all of a sudden we have five or six girls all of a sudden in front of us doing the whole dance thing. We're just like, wow, that's okay, we're going to have to keep put ourselves on loop and just watch them for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, like that's what it's about right there.
It was
that's
awesome
beautiful.
Watching them.
Oh, I love that.
It's called jigging, isn't it? Yeah. It's dancing a jig?
Yeah.
It's an actual thing.
Actually, it's dancing a jig when you're playing a jig. I guess it's dancing a reel.
Oh, you're reeling then.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Well, reeling is so more couples. Reeling turned into like square dancing.
So if they fall okay. down, yeah. is that a slip
so.
Jig?
So really, what, like we, West, our country really did steal a lot from the Irish, mm-hmm. like, music and dance.
Wow, we didn't
really
steal, man. They brought it with them.
No, I'm saying we stole from it. So it's kind of interesting to see how
it's. We had no choice but to accept it. Yeah. Man, I mean, I didn't think
it
that was
shoved just so politely down our throats. No, I love it, though. It's really cool to see
Try the Guinness. It'll be fine.
Right? So what is the last song you guys have for us? Russell's.
Yeah, let's do do yours.
We can. Unless you want to finish up.
All right, let's do your song.
Okay.
If we got time, we'll go back and finish up.
All right, actually, this is a song that, you know, they say I wrote. It's kind of weird. I had a dream, and the song came to me in a dream. When I woke up, it was just like the whole first part was there.
All the latest news and more is always right at hand with the Texarkana Gazette mobile app. Updates and breaking news alerts throughout the day keep you up to speed on everything happening in Texarkana and beyond. There's even a daily digital replica of our print edition. All the features you love, like puzzles and our special sections, are right there. It's like having the whole paper in your pocket or purse. Best of all, it's free to download. Look for the Texarkana Gazette app in Google Play or the Apple App Store today.
Okay, anyway, yeah, so I wake up one morning, and the song, I've tried to write songs in the past, you know, I've written music, so musical tunes pop up in my head all the time, so that's kind of common, but never lyrics, so this time I woke up, it had the lyrics and the music, and that was weird, so I jumped right in there and started recording what I had, and writing down what I had, because you'll forget it if you don't. So anyway, but the thing about writing a song is you're never really, you know, you see a person say they wrote a song, but really when you're playing with bandmates and stuff like that, you never really write it by yourself. You know, yeah, the dream came to me and I did the lyrics, but I also had a couple of friends that I was bouncing the lyrics off of that are not here, a couple of female friends, and Tammy and Joy, and they were sitting there saying, you know, yeah, it sounds good, or put something here. So they kind of helped with the lyrics. And then these guys, anytime you've got musicians, they write their own parts. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, you know, I came up with the chord structure and stuff like that, but all the rhythms, those nice rhythms that Ken's putting on it, and the nice melodic tune that Brian is putting on it, that's their creation. So that's how songs are actually written. You may see someone's name on it, but really everybody that touches it puts their own artistic, you know,
imprint.
Flavor on it.
Yeah, it takes a village to raise an idiot.
There you go. See, I knew we needed him here to heckle. All right, so anyway, it's called The Lucky Loser. If you want to. So this guy has a... He's had real good luck his whole life, except with a lady.
in, found lucky in Kentucky. I've been set free in Tennessee. I fought the law in Arkansas. They branded me with that Texas star, but that Louisiana woman's gonna be the death of me.
Go for it, Brian.
Just talking about, I want to kind of circle back to, because I'm still just mind blown about what you're saying about the price of a mandolin guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That is wild to me. So how much were you saying if this was brand new, brand new?
This is a Gibson Master model. It's very rare. At one time when Gibson was kind of at the end of making their mandolins, when the mandolin craze had gone down. Used to, you would have orchestras that were all mandolins. Mm-hmm. It was a time in history. And then the banjo kind of took over. And then the guitar and stuff like that. So anyway, they were making like one a month, because they take a piece of wood and carve this out. It's not like, you know, they make them in China where they press a thin layer of plywood or something like that. This is all hand carved. And it's tuned, so you can hit it and it plays a D typically. Okay. So it's hand tuned with bars and stuff like that. So a lot goes into it. The wood is flame maple. It's nitrocellulose finish. All this engraving and stuff like this is done by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's abalone and pearl, things like that, ivoroid. So Gibson Master Mandolin, Master Model, at this time, which you can't buy one because they're always sold out. But if you look on Guitar Center, $19,000.
Yeah, that's like a car. Right?
Yes, it is. So I bought it used, and I did not have to pay that much. But, hey, it's one of the best-sounding mandolins that I've had, and it is beautiful. But it's kind of funny because Ken here, you know, he kind of talked me into
doing this stuff right here, and he got me to performing professionally a lot, and so with that, you know, I've probably invested, you know, at least.
Make no mistake, he's got two of these.
Oh.
Yeah, at least, you know. Wow. Probably, you know, overall, probably $20,000 and stuff, right? But I kind of collect, too, so. But, you know, thanks to Ken and all these gigs, all these gigs that we got through that, you know, he encouraged me the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
And since, you know, thanks to Ken, I have made, performing, I have made tens of dollars.
Absolutely.
It's been great.
So it paid itself off.
Yeah. Well, you know, over a period of 1,200 years, going. It will pay for itself. You know?
But no the memories and the joy you get from it is priceless.
Yeah. Getting to meet you guys. And, yeah, like Brian's been on the front page of the paper playing his violin. I've been on the front page of the Texarkana Gazette playing pirate music. And
I was on the back page. We won't talk about that.
In the classifieds.
In the classifieds. So,
Section 4.
What about your guitar? You were showing us earlier, Ken, that you've got quite a weathered guitar. Yeah.
This is a classical Seagull guitar. Played bass for ever. And finally, I decided I was going to buy a guitar. So, and I figured out pretty quickly I wanted this classical guitar because it has these really, really cool skulls on it around the board. And once, you know, it took me about 6 months, I realized, no, those are butterflies.
Oh, no.
So that's great.
That's great.
But the only thing that's holding the guitar together is the butterflies. If you look,
yes, I see.
Oh, how funny!
But yeah, it's gone through hell and back and serious wars and.
And you said this is only the second.
This is the first guitar I ever bought, and it's the main guitar I always play. You guys probably don't even know I got a Gibson at the house.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, I had some guy walk into the music store that I was working at where we sold Gibson guitars, and this guy walks in and goes, I got your guitar under my bed. I'm like, no, you don't. I don't own a guitar. I own this one, but I don't own a guitar that you didn't know. No, I don't. You don't have my guitar under your bed. He goes, yes, I do. You go get $700, and we'll exchange. Well, that piques my curiosity. So I went down to the store and just so happened, to the bank and found out I had $750 to last me, you know, until the next paycheck. And I'm like, okay, so can I do it on $50? Yes, I can. So I took the $700, walked in there. He walked in and handed me that black Gibson guitar. And I'm like, here's the $700.
Wow.
So the same exact guitar, I had it on the wall. Just so happened to have that guitar on the wall in that store at that point in time with a $2,500 price tag. And I was like, how'd you know that would be my guitar? He goes, I looked at you, and I've had that guitar underneath my bed for about 3 years, and when I saw you, I was like, you're the one that's supposed to own that guitar.
Wow.
I was like, he's like the guitar whisperer or something. He says he has a bunch of instruments, and when he runs into the person who's supposed to own it, he tells them the price, and he sells them for, you know, for whatever he feels like they can afford.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I hardly ever get the chance to play it, but...
Like a guitar angel, just bestowing gifts on you.
Yeah, I don't know about angel. I was surprised.
Even Lucifer was an angel at some point.
So. Yes.
Context there. All right, what about you?
He's a detective now. Violins range from $60 to $6 million. Okay? This is not that. My first violin, $100. Second one was loaned to me. You know, and it was a beautiful instrument. This one, I had to get that one back. So this violin buddy of mine says, I got two for sale. Try to take them home and try them for a week. And so out of the two, this is the one I got.
Very cool.
It sounds, a lot of instruments isn't just the instrument, it's the person playing it.
Right.
The person who puts that into it. You know, you can take a crappy guitar and it can sound good. You know, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, because you sound good with it.
just watching you, they all look like they're an extension of yourselves. Like the way you hold them, the care you have for them, you can see their personality shining through them, especially on yours, Ken. Like, it's got a lot of personality.
Straight up correct.
You've already got a kind of a scar.
Cool. You can tell they each have their own stories. I wouldn't be surprised if any of you have named your instruments. No?
I've got lots with names.
You got
this one don't have one yet. Normally, when you first, like I said, I love instruments, so I collect them. I've got, like, from 1953 Gibsons up to modern age PRSs and this, and but normally when you open up a guitar case or an instrument case, if it's got a name, it jumps out at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this one has not, but the sound, the bark, was the bark. Just amazing when I first played it. But the last guitar that I actually sold it. A guy calls me. He's like, "Hey, I want that guitar." I had it on Reverb, right? It was a PRS 20th anniversary thing, you know, and I'd bought a new PRS, so I had to sell that to try to pay off this other one, right? He calls me. He's like, "Hey, man, I got to have that guitar. I used to have one just like it, and it got stolen while I was playing a gig." I was like, "Wow, that must have been a gig." He said, "Yeah, I was playing with the Doobie Brothers." I was like, "Whoa.
Wow."
I said, "But hey, man, if you're like super pro, you know, I got some a Gibson Les Paul I need to sell too." He's like, "Nah, I don't want a Gibson Les Paul, man. I gave all my Les Pauls to Zach Wilde." You know, Zach Wilde is guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne.
Holy.
I'm like, "Oh, man." So I was like, "Okay, yeah, this sounds fake."
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's such a Black Label Society.
Anyway, yeah. I can't even remember the guy's name, but he was like, "Yeah, right now I'm playing with Jason Aldean." So
that'd be country.
He was actually, yeah, that was the guy that was playing when a Paddock shot up Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
So he was on the stage when that happened, this guy that's got my guitar. So if you see Jason Aldean's guitarist with a blonde flame maple PRS, that's my old guitar. And he called me after that. He was like, "Dude, I love the guitar. It's everything you said it was," and blah, blah, blah.
That's really cool. It's going on and living like a whole other life.
Yeah, so you're right. Guitars do have names. They do have character. You know, every instrument is different. Ken takes care of his guitar.
This crackhead's name Clay. Is Abigail.
Abigail.
Abigail? Yeah, her name is straight up Abigail. Named after one of my rats.
Yeah, it's broken.
Well, I used to.
No way.
Sadly, she passed away 15 million years ago. Abigail and Damien.
Oh, that's precious, though.
Well, she was awesome. So when I got a guitar, it's like, yeah, this continuation of Abigail.
I love that. That's precious.
Yeah, see, it's got tails hanging off of it and stuff.
Resembles her.
Yeah, sort of.
It's like a rat tail.
I told you.
It's a little rat.
I just let the strings on, dude. I just, I don't care.
That's great. And then you guys said you had something to finish earlier, right?
Yeah.
I like one of two tunes.
Yeah,
a few more.
I think we got enough time for that.
Okay, cool. You give us our two notes, we run with you.
Okay. Or you want to start right there at Rights of Man?
Rights of Man.
Rights of Man.
Rights of Man.
feel like we should be clinking pints of beer after each one or something. Yes. It's so great. Yes. it just feels wrong,
we
right?
We really should have planned this out better. There needed to be guests.
Hindsight's 2020.
I think this is the most sober I've been in playing Irish music in a long time.
You did great. I won't tell anybody if you don't.
I take it back. The most sober we've ever been is when we got invited to a Methodist church. Yes. And we played at a Methodist church. It was us and 8 heavy metal bands.
No way.
For real.
I would love to see that.
Shredding away and banjos. Hurt.
Oh, how cool.
They felt like they were going to bring out the
stretchers. Was that in Texarkana? Like,
yes, it was.
What? We're not going to say where.
Oh.
But, I mean, we had to start a show. We're like, okay.
God knows who it was, though.
We basically had to start our show with the whole idea of, okay, so every single song you hear is exactly what you don't want to do. All right. And we just took off. And I was really surprised. Everybody just packed the house, and we just saw a bunch of mouths dropped and big eyes staring at us for, like, through our whole set. And I was like, wow, that's kind of wild.
That's awesome.
We do have that set on YouTube, don't we?
Yes, it is on YouTube.
Well, Make sure you look up on YouTube. There's, like, 20, 30 videos.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, and on Facebook, you can like our Facebook page, O'Malley's Prayer.
Yeah.
Is there anything? I was just about to ask that. How can people find you?
Hawkins.
Go to Hawkins.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's how.
Hawkins Friday yeah. nights.
Just look for the three of you.
I think you'll have the instruments in hand. There. You can message and stuff like that if you have a job.
Okay, so we're just kind of starting to get back together and getting this thing started up. We are looking for a few extra members. I mean, we got a bass player. She's on
vacation. I've got a drummer for you. I really do.
We need to talk about the drummer.
Yeah.
Now, what we really need, you know what you could do for us?
What?
Forget about playing bass. We need you on penny whistle, man.
What is a penny whistle?
That's how it happened. Alice Dare.
Like a pan flute?
Has dared you.
No, it's
pen whistle.
I've never heard of this.
Uh-huh.
No, well, it's like a flute that they can really condense down really tight, and they used to be made out of copper and worth a penny.
Really?
That's why I call penny whistles. Now they're, you know what, they're worth like 10 cents. No,
they're worth like, I gotta pay
$3
for one.
You have to pay.
Here's your claim to fame, Carl. Yeah. Penny whistles.
There you go. But a good penny whistle player, man. I mean,
are they hard to come by?
No, you can find them on, you know, I'm pretty sure Amazon sells millions of
this
them.
This might be the one instrument I can learn to play.
Maybe we need a penny whistle player.
I can do it on YouTube. I'll look it up. I couldn't learn guitar, but I feel like I could do this.
So she's going to join us with the penny whistle. You know what you can play for us?
Bagpipes.
Well, no. No.
How about one of those little drum things?
A bongo?
Yeah.
Okay. There's going to end up being like an 8-piece band.
It was a 9-piece, so that's one person less.
Really? Yeah.
We're still waiting on Max.
Yeah, we're going to get Max back in there. We also need to find someone who will do lead vocals. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to do backup vocals. I know he likes to do backup vocals. I force him to do lead vocals on certain songs, but we really do need somebody that can, like, really bust it out. I have to concentrate way too much. I'm splitting my brain in 4 different sections when I'm singing. And
I don't have to sing. My jaw's in motion right now.
But, the instrument, a concertina, man.
A concertina.
I have one of those.
I would say accordion, concertina is so much cooler.
Okay.
Just remember, if you join, you can make tens of dollars.
Okay. That's right. I will make sure you end up having to buy a $10,000 concertina.
Need our fair share. Well, guys, I really appreciate y'all coming out here today. I'm just flabbergasted, I guess. Just really cool. Like, I know I've seen you around at Hopkins and I've seen you perform before, but it's just like a different experience having this intimate kind of dynamic. So I really appreciate y'all coming out, and I think everyone's gonna love it.
The brightness, man. I'll be honest. I mean, I was sitting in here being sober. It's kind of weird. But I mean, we've had a lot of fun.
Hey, Hopkins is just right around the corner.
No, I hear you.
Not on my tab.
Well, guys, I really appreciate it. And like I said, I think everyone's going to love it. So on that note, thank you.
Thank you for having us. It was a great time.
Thank you.
You are awesome.
Tune in Texarkana is a Texarkana Gazette podcast produced in Star Bear Studio. Right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Aaron DeBlanc hosts the show, and Carl Richter produces and edits. Contact Aaron at edeblanc at texarcanagazette.com or Carl at krichter@texarcanagazette.com. If you like the show, please post a positive review wherever you get podcasts. And we'll see you next time.